Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is Youth Sunday, so it's going to be led by the youth. Don't worry, you still get to get Pastor Matt's sermon, but the rest of the service will be led by the youth. The only announcements I've got is every member council meeting has made their decision. We're going to have one worship service over the summer that will be starting June 16th and ending August 25th. The worship service will be at 9 a.m. and the Sunday school will be 10:15 to 11 a.m. And then next week is Children's Sunday, so it'll be a special Sunday just for the kids. Everybody else can come too. It'll be one service at 10:30, and there will be a come and see This Way Up. I hear they're very good. And there will be an all-church picnic afterwards, and it is a potluck, so bring your food. And then one more. There will be VBS orientation meeting after church today at 11:45. The VBS teachers and helpers are invited to attend, or anyone who is interested in helping. The VBS still needs teachers for preschool and kindergarten. And they say thank you, blessings, 2019 VBS committee. Any other announcements? Seeing none, please rise and do the call to worship with me, which is in your bulletin and on the screen. God, we have come here to praise you, but it took time to get here. Lord, help us to resist temptations. Sometimes we'd rather sleep in or watch a TV show than come to worship you. Lord, help us to resist temptations. God, help us to focus on you so we can build a better relationship with you. Lord, help us resist temptations this hour and beyond. Remain standing and join us in singing Called or Not Called. It is the insert in your bulletin.
That, my friends, is the great news this morning, that God is everywhere.
And it is amazing to be able to go throughout each day with that knowledge, being reassured no matter where we are, no matter where we go, God is there with us. May that be comfort. May that be reassurance as we gather here this morning and look ahead to our upcoming week. There is a microphone that will come around if anyone has any joys or concerns they'd like to share. Again, we want to thank the youth. Can we give them a round of applause for stepping out in faith and doing this Youth Sunday? It's been wonderful thus far. Amen.
For those of you who don't know, there's a national crisis in the farming community in the United States. There's going to be a lot of corn and soybean ground not planted in this country this year because of all the wet weather in the Midwest. The deadline for insurance is this week, so there's going to be a lot of farmers that will not be able to plant a crop and harvest the crop. And in the end, it's going to make the nation's food source get a lot more expensive because of this. So we need to pray for a lot of these folks in the Midwest. They've had a lot of devastation on their farms. And even around here, we've had quite a bit of acreage that hasn't been planted. And we just need to pray for all the farmers in the United States.
I'd like prayers for friends of Carl's and mine, Bob and Linda Labotte. Bob and Linda. Bob is a colleague of Carl's. He has the same disease. Right now, he's going down the same pathway, so I'm reliving everything with him. He's in the process of deciding to go to Jefferson for a transplant. Same doctors, same routine, same medication, everything. And so it brings back a lot to me, but I'd appreciate prayers for Bob and Linda. Yes.
I'd like to ask the congregation to keep Curtis in their prayers. He's in his countdown. His probation hearing is on June 19th. I would encourage you to send cards of encouragement. His address is in the bulletin. So, and keep him in your prayers.
Yeah, James France, who has Alzheimer's disease, I understand Ruth is bringing him up to visit his mother sometime this week or next week. They live down in the Carolinas somewhere, I'm not sure, but I found out about this at a class breakfast yesterday, and then I saw Ruth's sister at Hornings and talked to her. I understand he knows who people are yet, but I also understand he really doesn't talk anymore. And he doesn't understand and realize what's going on, evidently. So I also have another friend who's taking care of his mother who has Alzheimer's, and he's having a difficult time with this, difficult for him. So in general, pray for the people who are caregivers and who have the disease.
Let us pray. Father God, you know what we need before we even need it. And Father, in this moment, we're asking you to be all that the farmers need right now. You know the crisis that they are facing. You know the food costs that could rise as a result of not being able to plant what they need to plant. And we believe, Lord, that you're in control. And we just want to ask for your provision. We want to ask that you would just allow what needs to happen, that these farmers would be able to restore their crops and plant them, whatever it takes, Lord. And we just thank you. We give you praise. You already know what needs to take place, and we just trust you through this. And Lord, we know the diseases that strike so many people. And we lift up Bob and Linda this morning, and Lord, you know what they're going through in this very hour. And we just know you are the master physician, and we know that your hand can reach down and just bring healing. But Lord, we also know that through suffering, we learn to trust you, to build endurance, and to find strength through you, that in our weakness, we know it's only through you that it's provided. And I especially want to lift up our dear sister as well, Lord, that you would just give her all she needs in this time as well, as she faces what she's already faced in the past. So Lord, we just thank you that we have the opportunity to be there for others, as difficult as it can be at times. Lord, just help us to continue to support and encourage each other through those moments of weakness in our lives. And thank you for the strength that you give us. We do think, Lord, of Curtis this morning, and continue to ask your blessing upon him, Lord, as he looks toward his upcoming trial. Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon the entire process, that you would continue to just bless him and give him all that he needs, and help us to continue to encourage and support him, Lord. And we just think of James as well, and ask your hand of healing upon him and many others that are listed in our bulletin. Lord, you know right now in this very moment what we're going through. You know the sorrow that we face as we've lost loved ones. You know the sorrow we face as we watch loved ones that are slowly drifting away from us. And we think, Lord, of heaven and what that will look like. But Lord, it's still difficult to lose that loved one and be left here, some of us, by ourselves. And we thank you for this church family, that we can come together and we can grow together and we can learn together. We can know that our presence with each other means so much. But Lord, that absence is always felt. And so we just thank you, Lord, for the memories that you bless us with. But Lord, we just pray that you would just continue to nurture us and continue to give us all we need in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our losses, in the midst of seeking direction. Lord, we just know that you're the one who guides us. And we just thank you, Lord, for that guidance that you give us each and every day. And we know, Lord, that at times we can find ourselves in the way. We can become distracted. We can be tempted, and we can fall prey to sin. And Lord, we just offer prayers of confession during these next few moments of silent prayer. And we just ask, Lord, that you would guide us away from those sins, that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from that evil, Lord. And so thank you for hearing these prayers of confession and repentance during these next few moments of silent prayer. Lord, within each of us, we know that you are all we need. But Lord, we look at the world and often we're tempted by what it offers. And so in this very moment, we just want to submit to you, Lord. We want to make you Lord of our lives, that you would be in control, that you would guide our thoughts, you would guide our actions, you would guide our words, Lord. And just help us, Lord, to be mindful of those things that don't follow the path of what you've called us to. So we thank you, Lord, that we can be followers of Christ, that we can be examples of Christ, that we can love one another and be able to just show that love to even those that are most difficult to love. So thank you, Lord, for meeting us here in this place. Thank you for these precious youth, and just continue to bless them. You know what they're facing. You know their future, and it's all in your hands. And we just ask that you would continue to just bless them and allow them to know your presence in real ways throughout their days. And we think, Lord, of the leaders that represent the youth, and just help to guide them and just give them strength, give them encouragement, give them all they need to be able to continue to be that support that these youth look for. And may we all be shining examples, that these youth would grow up in the faith and know what it means to follow you. Thank you for all things, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we are going to be recognizing our graduating seniors. We have Gabby Crick, Caitlin Henning, and Abby Christ. If you look in the center of your bulletins, there's a list of their many accomplishments throughout their years of high school. We did have one omission. Caitlin Henning will be attending Elizabethtown College in the fall to major in occupational therapy. We are so fortunate to have all three of you be part of our senior high youth group for 4 years. You all have been very valuable and active in youth group, and we are so appreciative of all you've done, and we will miss you very much. Abby, Caitlin, and Gabby, you will soon finish your senior year of school. We celebrate with you as your church family. Congratulations on this accomplishment. Listen now to these nuggets of truths. These truths will help you as you navigate and face the obstacles that you are bound to come your way as you continue on new adventures going forward from graduation.
Face your fears. Fear generally presents itself in two categories: healthy fear and dangerous fear. Dangerous fear keeps us from moving forward. It's the kind of fear that keeps us from our potential, and it's the kind of fear that paralyzes us. Healthy fear, on the other hand, is the type of fear that a mountain climber experiences. It's the kind of fear that reminds us to tighten the rope and take extra time in finding the right grip when we climb life's mountain. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 tells us, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline."
Forget your failures. The Apostle Paul wrote the following to the church of Philippi regarding their past failures. "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." Paul refused to allow failure to become destructive in his life. He refused to allow failures to beset his journey on his way to the goal of glorifying God in all that he does. Paul's secret was simple. He put the past behind him and determined to have a positive mental attitude in life. The reality is that you will face failures. We all do. None of us is perfect. The only people that never do anything wrong are the people who never do anything. It's not a matter of if you fail, it's when you fail and what you do about it.
Follow your faith. Again, it was Paul who wrote the Romans and said, "We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Our faith will lead us through the gauntlet of life, but God's intent for this gauntlet is to continue his sanctifying work in us so that we are continually molded in his image. Run with purpose. Life is not a game of hopscotch. Life is an adventure. Take hold of Jesus' hand and get ready for the adventure ahead of you." And we have Bibles to present to each of the girls. Abby. Caitlin. Everyone give these girls a round of applause.
Deep in the foundations of our faith is the practice of giving. As we journey, trying to follow in the footsteps of our divine Lord, who gave even his life for us, I invite you to enter into this time of offering with a focus on the unconditional and unending love that our God gives to us. Please bow your heads with me. Merciful God, we give these gifts to you as thanks for your never-ending, unfailing love, even when we do wrong. We thank you for still providing for us and loving us when we take our eyes off of you and fall into temptation. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. I'd like to ask the children to come join us up front, please. Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good.
Good. Today for Youth Sunday, the theme is Led by Jesus, Not by Temptations. So we're going to talk about some temptations. Can you name any temptations?
I'm going to say technology.
Yeah, sometimes when mom says no more on the technology and you do it anyway. Maybe taking a cookie from the cookie jar right before dinner when mom and dad have said no. Or maybe another temptation is to get angry and yell at your brothers and sisters when they make you mad. Or another temptation is talking about others behind their back. Do you have any other temptations that you can think of?
Being cruel to your friends or your pets.
Yes. The temptation we are going to talk about today is looking away from God, because we as humans think we know better. However, in the Bible, it says God won't let us be tempted with more than we can handle. It is okay to have temptations as long as you don't give in to them. In fact, Jesus was even tempted, but he stood his ground against the devil. We aren't perfect people, so we will give in to temptation sometimes. Sometimes we will take a cookie from the cookie jar, knowing we aren't supposed to. But even when we give in to our temptations, God will provide a way out. God will always be there to help us. We can look at an example in the Bible with Peter. One day, Jesus was walking on water to the boat his disciples were in, and Peter sees this and wants to walk on water as well. Jesus tells Peter, get out of the boat and walk toward him. Peter begins to walk on the water, but he gets scared and starts to look at all of the waves around him and is no longer looking at Jesus. As soon as Peter looks away from Jesus, he begins to sink. But Jesus is there to catch him. This sometimes happens to us too. We look away from God and begin to fall, but God will always be there to catch us. God will never put temptations in our way that he knows we can't overcome. When we do mess up and give in to temptations, God is there to catch us and bring us back to him. Are you ready to go back to your seat? I almost forgot, though. How many of you noticed this bowl of candy I have sitting here?
I don't know. I kind of
noticed. You kind of noticed? Were any of you tempted to take a piece?
Mm-mm.
No? Were you tempted? You were. I think we can all add this to our list of temptations. Will you pray with me, and then you can all have a piece of candy and go back to your seats. Dear Jesus, I pray that these children will always look to you, but if they begin to fall away from you, be there to catch them and help them overcome their temptations. Amen. You can take candy.
Okay, take a piece of candy and then go back.
Thank you. please join with me in the scripture litany? I am greedy.
Lead us, God, away from temptation.
I am distracted.
Lead us, God, away from temptation.
I am tested.
Lead us, God, away from temptation.
I am questioning.
Lead us, God, away from temptations into your divine embrace.
No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind.
What are you talking about?
No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind.
I still don't understand.
Basically, it means...
And God is faithful. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear.
God won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear?
Yes. Imagine you're at a restaurant.
Oh boy, not another story.
The waitress gives you a glass of water. You finish it.
What does this have to do with temptation?
She brings you out a slightly larger glass. You finish that one as well.
Look, I appreciate your story, but how many more glasses of water does this story entail?
No, continue. I think I'm beginning to understand.
After going through the larger glasses of water, the waitress finally brings you out a glass of water that's too big for you to finish.
So then what happens?
Is the story over yet?
Obviously, you can't finish the glass, so the waitress takes it back and brings you a smaller one.
Oh, I get it. Even though temptations may come your way, God will make sure you can bear them.
It took you that long to understand. Anyways, back to what I was saying. But when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
I have the perfect story for something like this.
No.
So, we've all had temptations, but God is always faithful to us. God's given us a second chance.
And a third.
And even a fourth.
Thank you for sharing and explaining this scripture to me. I now understand temptations and how God helps us through them.
You're welcome. Remember, we are led by Jesus.
Not temptations.
The Screwtape Letter. This skit comes from two demons attempting to lure and catch Christians.
I think I've got one!
What? Another one? You got to be kidding me.
Woo-wee! This one's a beaut!
I can't believe you caught another one. How many Christians have you caught today?
Well, let's see. This is my third day, 17th this week, and 53rd this month. I'm on a roll. Oh, and take a look at this one. 6'2", 235-pound minister.
Seriously? A minister? I can't even catch a back row believer. You catch a minister?
Oh, stop your whining and take my picture with him.
Instead of cheese, say sinner.
Sinner!
This isn't fair. I'm putting in just as much work and trying just as hard to catch Christians, but you keep catching them and I keep getting nothing.
That is the saddest story ever told.
Don't patronize me. I know you better at this than me, but I want to get better. I just don't know how. I sure wish I knew somebody who was good at catching Christians who could help me. Someone who's an expert and wants to help a fellow demon out. Who do I know that could do that?
I'm not sure, but when you find someone like that, let me know.
Come on, Hornswoggle, I'm desperate.
Desperate? Now, there's a word I love. Here's what I'll do for you, Scabsworth. I'll tell you everything I know in exchange for your first five catches.
Yeah, fine, whatever. Just teach me, okay?
All right, here's the deal. Catching Christians ain't as hard as it seems.
Yeah, for you it's not.
Now, just listen. It ain't as hard as it seems as long as you know a few things up front. Now, I ain't talking about knowledge you got from this fancy underling school for the deceivers. No, brother, I'm talking about real knowledge you learned from actually catching Christians. Now, pull in your line for me. What bait you using?
Bait? You use bait? I just use my hook.
Oh, my word, Scabsworth, you're dumber than I thought. Look, you ain't never gonna catch nothing worth catching unless you have bait.
Okay, so how do I know what bait to use?
Well, that is the tricky part. You see, not every type of bait works with every Christian. You've got to know a little bit about who you're trying to catch first.
Well, how about that minister you just caught? What bait did you use for him?
Well, ministers can be tricky because they are leaders, you know. They typically know the Bible pretty well and try to live right. So I didn't go for the obvious bait. With this one, I used the combination of lust and pride. And then I convinced him that he deserved to make a mistake. In fact, he earned it. What pathetic little man he was. Now he's mine.
Well, what about me? For me, I've been trying to catch this Christian teen for a while now, and I can't get a bite. What bait would you recommend?
Teens. Well, that depends on a few things, Scabsworth. Is it a male or is it a female?
Well, right now I'm trying to catch the guy, but I'm planning on catching the girl after that.
Well, that is actually very ambitious of you, considering you have no idea what you're doing. Now go grab that tempting box. With a male teen, I always start with lust. They struggle with it, and most of them, even the hardest to catch, don't recognize what's going on until it's too late. But if they're particularly a hard catch, you might need to cover that lust with something else.
You put bait on top of bait? That sounds like a lot of work.
Well, you want to catch Christians, don't you? Ain't nothing, catch nothing worth catching without putting in some effort. Look, here's what I do. Sometimes I like to throw in laziness, apathy on top of the lust.
I don't get it.
Okay, look, I'll spell it out for you. If you can get them to start nibbling on the laziness and on the apathy, it gets them bored, it gets them disenchanted. They start to think, I've heard this all before and I don't care anymore. Then they start to let their guard down. By the time they get to the lust, they ain't thinking with a straight mind. They're just wanting something new, something exciting. And that's when they're all yours.
Okay, great. Well, what about that girl thing?
Well, it's going to be tending on the girl. Body image is always a good place to start. Most of these Christian girls floating around here don't really believe that God made them the way he wanted them to. No, they swimming around thinking he done made a mistake with them. Simply a fool. You get your girl trying to become something she ain't designed to be. Compare herself to everyone else, wanting what they got rather than what God's got for them. And pretty soon, you'll have them right where you want them.
That sounds great.
And if that don't work on them, I've got something special I occasionally use.
Oh, tell me. You gotta tell me that.
Oh, Scabsworth, Scabsworth, Scabsworth. I'm just not sure. This one's been a secret for a very long time. It just seems like such a shame to share it now.
Come on, Hornswoggle.
Well, all right. If I notice that someone seems to have control issues, you know the like, even if they've been swimming with the enemy all the while, I sometimes throw a little money in the works.
Money? Really? How does that work?
Well, well, well. So many of them got this idea. Money is always a gift from God.
Wait, it's not?
Sometimes it is. But sometimes, well, sometimes they just aren't meant to be rich. They don't know how to handle that responsibility. Get to thinking that the money's all for them, that God wants them to be rich, wants them to be lavish, wants them to even be wasteful. You see, they always forget about the warnings attached to the riches. I like to throw that money out there and watch them think they live in their best life now, when in fact, it's just me dragging them in. And before long, they're nibbling on that line, developing an unquenching hunger for more that'll never stop until they breathe their last breath. I think you're ready. You think you're ready?
I think I'm ready.
Okay, one more thing. Where are you trying to catch them?
I've just been throwing the line all over the place and hoping I get a bite.
Well, this isn't really a sport of chance. It's a game of precision. You see that group of Christians over there?
Yeah, I see them.
If you were to throw that line over there, ain't none of them probably gonna bite. You see, when they're together like that, they're even harder to catch. Even if one of them starts to nibble on the bait, the others will probably see the hook and try and help their friend out. What you gotta do, Scabsworth, is wait for one of them to wander off on their own. That is when you throw the line. That is when you got the best chance of catching your very own Christian.
Oh, I see. I see one by himself over there.
All right, I've got your line ready. Cast it out and see what you can do.
I got one. I really got one.
Ha ha, there you go. Now you're fishing for Christians. End skit, begin message.
They say opportunity knocks once, but temptation leans on the doorbell. Billy Sunday, Father says, temptation is the devil looking through the keyhole. Yielding is to open the door and invite him in.
In the Lord's Prayer, we even pray, lead us not into temptation, but somehow we always find our way. The reality, friends, is none of us are above temptation. If you live, if you move, if you breathe, it's going to catch up with us.
And our job's to decide right now, you love God more than any temptation that comes our way. You see, the enemy knows our every weakness and he will attack them.
That's the crucial part. We must know our triggers. We must be completely self-aware. Don't go where you know that you're going to be tempted. Set the boundaries you need to set. Whatever it takes, get the rest that you need. And friends, be more alert than ever.
It's obvious the most prone to temptation is when we're totally exhausted. Our minds toss back and forth. We make poor choices. Again, the enemy knows when we are at our weakness.
But we also know that when we are weak, God is very strong. Anything that removes our focus on him can mean trouble. Red flags should be going on everywhere. We must know when, we must know where we can be, and at what times.
Temptation itself is not a sin. It's only a sin when we give into the act of temptation and we fall prey. For example, I can hear the voices saying, watch the R-rated movie, it won't hurt you. What's a little skin and foul language? The violence isn't any different for that, you see, than any other day.
That voice, that thought process is what leads to the sin. We could call it the devil on one shoulder, the angel on the other. But the act of sin is when you watch that movie or you follow through on a temptation to do something or say something you know that God wouldn't approve.
So let's look at our scripture this morning. Remember this in the Word of God. It's active and living and sharper than any double-edged sword. It can pierce through any temptation any day, but you need to know what it says.
For the following, we would like to acknowledge Dennis Beckner, pastor at Columbia City Church of the Brethren, for these National Youth Sunday thoughts on being led by Jesus, not by temptation. Dennis says, without a doubt, from the beginning of mankind, temptation has been an aspect of life. But what starts as a single temptation of fruit on a tree in the middle of a garden has now multiplied into a wide variety of temptations we face today.
From the simple temptations of food we know aren't healthy for us, to the temptations of lust, living beyond our means, drugs, greed, alcohol, or profanity, temptations abound. This isn't an easy world for a teen to live in, let alone adults.
Listen closely to 1 Corinthians 10:13. It'll be read from the Message version. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we're not the first to face temptations. Even Jesus himself faced temptation. After his baptism, we find Jesus tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Now, Jesus is able to overcome each temptation, the Greek for tempted meaning tested or trials, and he uses God's word, quoting passages in Deuteronomy, Isaiah, and the Psalms.
Jesus teaches us how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. Part of this model prayer includes the plea, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Matthew 6:13. In other words, we call upon God to help us steer away from temptation. Yet we also rely on God in the midst of our trials. Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
As we look to the concluding portion of 1 Corinthians 10:13, it provides us with comfort. It gives us reassurance that when we are tempted, and tempted we will be, God will always provide a way out. He'll always help us endure.
Remember the words of 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. God will see us through whatever tempts us, but keep us in mind the human aspect still needs to be endured in the temptation. It's not going to just go away. As a matter of fact, friends, that is not God's promise. God's promise is the way out. We choose the way out, if we choose the way out. The word said it would be something we can endure.
It reminds me of this story that we'll close with. As the Union Pacific Railroad was being constructed, an elaborate trestle bridge was built across a large canyon in the west. Wanting to test the bridge, the builder loaded a train with enough extra cars and equipment to double its normal payload. The train was then driven to the middle of the bridge, where it stayed for an entire day. Now, one of the workers asked, "Are you trying to break this bridge?" "No," the builder replied. "I'm trying to prove that the bridge won't break." In the same way, God has proven the temptations Jesus faced weren't designed to see if he would sin, but to prove that he couldn't. Friends, as one source noted, when we flee temptation, be sure that we don't leave a forwarding address. Would you pray with me? Lord, you know day in and day out what temptations we face. Lord, you even know those temptations that the enemy is going to have an easier time with us to fall prey to. But Lord, we want to stand firm. We want to know what your word says and be able to do as Jesus has done and quote scripture that we wouldn't fall prey. Lord, we pray this very day you would help us, you would lead us, you would guide us as we face these temptations. Help us, Lord, to be led by your son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Guide my
The reality is we're running one of two races. We're running the race designed by the world, in which we're running in vain. Or we're running the race designed by God, in which we know He guides us, gives us everything we need to run that race in victory. May it be so, in the name of Jesus. Amen.